Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading that story that Jeff referred to as he spoke with the younger members of the church, the story of John the Baptist in the wilderness and the baptism of Jesus. Let us listen to these words that we may have heard before, but listen to them with a newness of reception for God's word in our lives. And the crowds asked him, speaking of John the Baptist, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. And even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? And he said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed to you. And soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threat or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him bodily, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us, thanks be to God. The gospel message is not about what we believe, but how we live. People come to John the Baptist with the question, what should we do? How shall we live? Not what should we believe. What do we do with our lives in the times in which we live? That's what the people want to know. John the Baptist and Jesus lived in similar times to what we live in today. Both are times of imperial power gone astray. The Roman Empire, by the time of Jesus, was a republic of senators, statesmen, and governors who had lost touch with the lofty ideals of democracy that Rome practiced. They were more concerned with their own power, their own pleasure. They were more concerned in pleasing the emperor through whatever means they could to keep the masses of people fearful. This oligarchical style of ruling extended even into the provinces through puppet-like kings like the Herods of Israel. And so when people ask John, what then shall we do? They're not concerned with saving their souls so they will go to heaven. I have to say, I think this is probably one of the greatest misdirections of the evangelical gospel in the Western world. The gospel is not about going to heaven. It's about living here and now. These people want to know, how do we live in a world of imperial oppression, even when we benefit from some of that oppression? How do we go about living? And John speaks directly to then and now three groups of people. He speaks to the crowds, he speaks to the tax collectors, and he speaks to the soldiers. And I would like to explore how these three groups can represent three areas of our own lives. The crowds. The crowds represent all of us and our personal and communal relationships and encounters. The crowds represent all of us and our basic human needs. Our human needs of food, clothing, shelter, companionship. And in these relationships, John says we are called to share. We're called to share. Share what we have. And we're also called to receive if we are in need. Sharing. It is very simple. The crowds, humanity as a whole, were called to share. The tax collectors represent more of our collective lives, our governments, our institutions, our industries. Those broader communal relationships to which all of us contribute, pay taxes, if you will. It costs to live. And so this idea of the tax collector collecting taxes, it opens our imagination to all the different ways that we pay in order to live. And how that is so easy to exploit. It is so easy in this world of give and take through monetary means to exploit one another and develop systems that are inequitable. And John just says to these broader communal relationships to which we all participate and from which we all benefit, that we need to have equity. Now the soldiers represent our individual and collective need for security and safety. This is why we think we need strong military, strong police forces. Because of our need for security and safety. And yes, we do need to be secure and safe. But if there was ever a place that is wide open for exploitation, the need for security and safety is it. And John is saying, do not exploit this need through fear. Think about our world today, how fear is instilled in us in order to justify military and police industrial complexes that are taking billions of dollars of resources that could be used to actually increase the safety and security of people's lives by helping their quality of life. It is so easily exploited. And John addresses these things right here with these three groups of people. In basic needs, he says, share. In collective living, he says, live equitably with others. And in security and safety issues, he says, never use fear to your advantage. Now, one need not look far to realize that even this message of sharing equity and security is not new, but rather an extension. It's an extension of the teachings of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Malachi, and countless other prophets. All of these things get summed up in two or three words many times: mercy and justice. And Jesus, just like everybody else, comes to be baptized by John. Now, I don't know about you, but I asked the question, have you ever wondered who Jesus' teachers were? We have this bizarre notion that Jesus just comes knowing everything. Have you ever wondered who Jesus' teachers were? Well, he was a good Jewish boy and a good Jewish man. His teachers were Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Malachi. And later on, his teacher became his cousin, John. And this is where he learned his values, his world view. He learned from his parents. He learned from his community, like all children do. But you know, we all have certain people who influence us more than others. And a very strong indication of Scripture is that for Jesus, this person is his cousin, John. Jesus is part of the crowd that comes into the wilderness, away from the immediate dangers of their lives. And Jesus may very well be asking himself the question, what then shall I do? We spend a lot of time talking about Jesus calling his disciples and calling other people, and very little time even thinking about, well, who called Jesus? And it is here on the banks of the Jordan where John's words and the words of the prophets prompt him. Listen again to those words we heard earlier from Isaiah. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. The voice from heaven says, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. Now, John doesn't say all these people or groups of people have to repent or change who they are. You don't have to become a new person, John says. You've just got to change the way you're living. And Jesus hears this and he realizes that God created humankind and it is good. And through John, Jesus remembers who he is. Just like you and me, a child of God, created in God's image. And then Jesus continues this message of the prophets in his own life. He continues saying, share, live equitably, and do not use fear to manipulate yourselves or other people. And so Jesus is baptized. Jesus is called. And he goes into living the gospel that he has taught. Amen. And calendars are for sale. You know, I was thinking earlier about a story that the speaker, Tony Campolo, used to talk about. saying God had a picture of you in God's wallet. But I think more appropriate in our world today, God is like a grandmother with a smartphone who says, come here, I want you to see a picture of my grandchild. That's God. God knows each and every one of us. Not a person off somewhere that knows us. The universe, the eternal presence of God knows us by name, and our name is human. Each and every one of us, at the very core of who we are known as part of the presence of God, the eternal Christ. We've just come through an entire season of Advent and Christmas that pounds it into us. I am with you. Right here. Not only with, but a part of each and every one of us. Go from this place, my friends, and claim that and live it. Amen.